Yes, sir, what is your name, sir?
Excuse me?
I was just asking, what was your name, sir?
Saul Trios Jimenez.
Okay, sir. The Honorable Mr. Cabanis will be conducting your hearing, sir. Just hold on.
Just one second, Mr. Jimenez.
Yes, sir.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record, sir?
Yes, sir. Saul Rios Jimenez, ADC number 268315.
Very good, and good morning.
Good morning, sir.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on September 29, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir, I did.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire, at your expense, a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you in the room, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
I would like to introduce you to the four-member panel, the four-member board conducting the hearing today. If you can see us on the teleconference screen, to my extreme far left at the end of the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. After him is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Jimenez and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, I do, sir.
I do, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Jimenez, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. There is a department report number associated with this case, suggesting that there may be a pending charge outside of the correction system. So when I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. And in this case, you have the choice of remaining silent as this hearing is being recorded and can be subpoenaed. So for your protection, for your protection of your rights, you have the choice of choosing to remain silent. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
If you believe in the case that you state it's false, if you believe that the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it before we pass through phase one. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I will now begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal ways or company as follows. Violation of condition number five, by your action of violating a court order of protection by contacting victim Mrs. Sandra Sanchez on September 13, 2017. Mr. Jimenez, is this true, false, or do you wish to remain silent?
That is true, sir. I did.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Jimenez's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed. Just one second, Mr. Jimenez, and we will continue with the second phase of the hearing. Okay, sir, we're going to continue with phase two. Mr. Jimenez, during this phase, we will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional information. We will come back to you momentarily, so if you'll just remain on the phone, We'll get back to you shortly, sir. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Jimenez was released from DOC custody on October 5th of 2016. He was arrested on September 13th of 2017 by the Yuma Police Department for failure to comply with the order, protection order. He was returned back to our custody with 0 scan days with a community supervision end date of December 4th of 2017. Current conviction, 2011. Burglary, second degree, 6 years, 6 months. He had 1 term with DOC, has a CUIR score of 2.2, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 1. There's no FCG or gang information noted. He has a minimal disciplinary history. Other arrests, 1999, theft, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2007, drug paraphernalia violation, AZ felony conviction, probation. 2008, burglary, second degree, Arizona felony conviction, probation. And it's a community risk score of G4 or B4. And I do have status charges attached from P.O. Sandoval, dated Tuesday, October 3rd of 2017. Defender is pending misdemeanor charges for violation of the protection order.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Jimenez. Let's do a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you're released from DOC. You're authorized to reside with your wife, Ms. Sandra Sanchez, located at 416 South 20th Avenue, Yuma, Arizona. On August 16, 2017, you requested to change your approved residence to your father, Mr. Juan Jimenez, located at 3430 West 8th Street, Yuma, Arizona. Regarding employment, because if I'm not mistaken, you were released over a year ago. It looks like that you had obtained employment at Lighthouse Painting, located at 9877 West County, 18th Street, Somerton, Arizona. As of August 2017, you reported that you were unemployed and searching for employment. So did you find follow-up employment, Mr. Jimenez?
Yes, I did, sir.
Where were you working, sir?
On August, I was working for a company called Pro Services of Yuma, and what we did property maintenance for different realtors here in Yuma, but it got so slow that I couldn't find any work after that, and I went into a financial rep, but I have a job lined up right now as soon as I get out with a company. It's called, well, there's 3 different companies that I can work for. It's a farming company. So it's either Zion Harvesting, Joshua Harvesting, or J&R Custom Harvesting, or another company called Taylor Farms, any one of those. And I drive a combine. So the harvest season starts in about between 2 or 3 weeks. So prior to that, what I do is I work at the farm and I get everything ready. I help with equipment. So in about 3 weeks, if I can get released, I'll be driving a combine, and that'll be permanent work.
Thank you, sir, and we wish you the best of luck on that. Again, we do commend you that you were working when you were outside of the prison system. Also, we commend you that it looks like that as you were coming out of the system, you had a low risk on the drug abuse scale. You submitted 5 oral fluid samples, which all tested negative for drugs or alcohol. Although I will ask, did you have a past problem with drugs? I saw that you had a previous arrest for drug paraphernalia. So, go ahead, sir.
In about 2010 to 11, I went through an emotional rut at that moment of my life, and I did turn to drugs. And when I got prior to getting arrested, I had stayed sober for about a week, but I had already done, several things to have the state pick me up and file charges on me. That's why I came into DOC in 2011. But while I was here, I was an NA chairman. I used to chair AA, and I was heavily involved in whatever the church community was doing. And I stayed sober for those, even while I was here, you know, knowing that there is drugs in the yard and that there is a lot of things that can happen, I did stay sober the whole time I was here and upon my release.
Sir, well, we commend you for that. What drugs did you have issue with in the past?
It was methamphetamine. That was the drug that I struggled with.
And when's the last time you used methamphetamine, sir? Approximately, I don't know the exact date. It's been a while.
But I am going to be honest with you, sirs. Prior to my arrest from YPD, when my wife and I, we had a lot of problems. I did use once. I'm sorry about that, but I did use once. Just right prior to my arrest, it happened one night, and then I went home to my parents' house.
I'd like to keep this positive. I mean, we recognize that people relapse, and
yes, sir.
It looks like that you're an individual that's trying very hard to stay off drugs, but that you have a trigger. And at the end of the day, this warrant of arrest has to do with violating a court order. So did this court order restraining order with your wife happen while you were on community supervision, sir?
Yes, it did, sir. I just spoke to my parole officer and Sandoval know that I was having different issues with her. There was a lot of just different things that were happening in our marriage, and I told him that I needed to make a shift, and she had put the restraining order on. But during the whole time of the restraining order, you know, she kept on calling me, and it's in the court documents. I talked to the judge about it. She would continue to call me, and I felt weak that day. Whether you're married men or not, but you know, my wife, she called me. I felt weak that day. I felt like I needed to be with her. And she called me that morning, and I went to the house. And that's when I broke the restraining order.
I will ask you this, Mr. Jimenez, but I'll try to keep it professional, not too personal, but is the relationship with your wife still salvageable? Are you going through a divorce, or?
No, no divorce, sir. We had several issues. Like I said, I was looking for work, so one of the things that we were struggling with, or that I was struggling with, was to make, you know, money, you know, for the house and just to cover the different bills that I had. That was one of the main issues that we were having. But so far, there's been no talk of divorce. I know that she does love me. She stood by me the 6 years almost 5 years that I was in prison. So, you know, she's been faithful to our marriage. We do have our issues, but I believe that in the future, eventually, we'll get over them. We can both heal and we can move forward. And if not, I've already made a plan for myself, separate from her, in case anything happens. Regardless, I'm ready to face whatever I need to face once I go home.
Okay, so I'm going to ask one last question, and then I'll ask my fellow board members if they have any follow-up, and that is the misdemeanor charge for violating the court-ordered protection still is pending. It's a misdemeanor, but it's pending. So is this restraining order or court-ordered protection, is this something that your wife is still enforcing?
Well, the reason it's pending, when I got arrested, I went to court the next day. I spoke to the judge, and I pled guilty to it. So it's something that I already pled guilty to, and she understood that my wife kept on calling me, and she was calling me. They saw the form records, and I told the judge, sending it to you guys. I felt weak that day, and I went to the house. But the reason it's pending was because they brought me to DOC, but DOC didn't take me to the court hearing. So my father went over there on my behalf, and he told them that I was here. So they said that they would set the court date for a later date as soon as I get out, but the judge said that I was going to end up doing, you know, like the anger management courses.
Yes.
That's the reason that it's pending.
No,
it's not because...
I'm going to take that in good faith in as much that you said true from the beginning. If it was something that it was pending, I would think, you know, you might say it was false or that you wanted to plead the fifth, but based on the fact that you said it was true up front, it sounds like that there's some pending action in the court system. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you.
Sir, Mr. Jimenez, so what's the situation with the car?
With the what, sir?
The vehicle, the car.
Back in January, I was working for, after I stopped working for Lighthouse Painting, I went to go to property management in Phoenix. So I bought the Toyota Tacoma, and I was using that as a work truck. And I had been making payments every month. It was under my wife's name. But when she put the restrainer on, she tried to take the truck away. And my dad went over there, he talked to her, and the day that I signed the restraining order, she said, okay, you can go ahead and take the vehicle, even though it's under her name. And I told her, I said, I've been making payments, I paid the down payment for it, and but she tried to take it away from me. And I said, well, let me keep it until I can transfer it to somebody else's name. So I was going to transfer it to somebody else's name, but then that morning, she called me and she said she wanted the vehicle back. And I said, well, fine, I'll take you the vehicle back. So that was the whole deal with the, you know, with the Toyota Tacoma, is that she wanted the vehicle, you know, because it was under her name. And I didn't refuse to give it back to her. I said, that's fine, I'll give it back to you. And that's the thing that we have with the Tacoma.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions from our fellow board members? Okay, Mr. Jimenez, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Would you like to make a final statement to the board before we go into discussion? Really ask that you don't repeat yourself, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else you'd like to share?
Well, I'd just like to share that I know that I have very little time left to do here in DLC, but I do believe that even if I get out sometime within these next few weeks, that I can do a good within this last month. I have 1 month of parole left to do, but the reason I'd like to get out, sir, is because I don't want to miss the opportunity of not being able to get hired as a combine driver. It's kind of like a first come, first serve thing, so there's other combine drivers ahead of me, even though I know that I have a job there to do different things, but my main position is a combine driver, and I know that if I were to get out on December 4th, I might have to struggle a little bit to look. I'd have to go out there and look for work as a combine driver, so this would give me the opportunity to get out right before the season starts. I can work in the shop to get everything ready, and then I'd be able to get into the position. That's one of the main reasons why I was hoping to get on parole again, to be honest with you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sir. I have nothing else to say.
Thank you, Mr. Jimenez. A quick question, and that is, should this board decide to return you to community supervision? And again, that requires a vote, and we're individual voting board members. We don't discuss these cases before we come into the boardroom. Are you willing to submit to drug treatment? Because it sounds like it's still looming around out there if you relapsed with the problems with your wife.
Yes, sir. I'm willing to submit to whatever I have to. I know that I only have a month left of parole, but if I submit to drug treatment while I'm on parole, then I have to complete the treatment no matter what. So I am willing to submit to whatever the parole board asks me to do.
Thank you, sir. I need to take some information here from Mr. Osborne before we continue.
Yes, sir. Just in the Crown Notes, I was looking back in the history, and on 8/14 to 17, the Yuma County Sheriff's Office contacted Pio Edgar Sandoval regarding the offender and his wife signing order of protection that day on 8-5, which he never notified his parole officer of. And on 8-16, when he came into the office, he was confronted by the parole officer. He admitted to the problems at the house that day and signing a protection order less than a month before that. And he was reconditioned not to have any contact with her that day. So there were issues in the past. He was reconditioned until not to have contact with the wife and still did so.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Okay, Mr. Jimenez, we're going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes and make a decision. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we will get back to you shortly.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Fellow board members, I'll try to be brief. This is a case in which, I feel some sympathy for Mr. Jimenez, in as much that he was out for a year. He was working, he was looking for continued work, having some struggles with his marriage, had a relapse, and we'll just call it a slip up or a relapse with methamphetamine. Sounds like an individual with a lot of potential and a good work ethic. Unfortunately, there's other factors with only 46 days left of his flat prison sentence that are concerning. One is that he does still have, he pled guilty, but he still has to deal with a pending charge out of the Yuma County. There's also the additional concern of him not reporting police contact with his parole officer. I'm going to take the position that I think he might, and again, it's not to be cold-hearted about him looking for work, especially with the harvest season, but that he take advantage of these 46 days to put together a plan for a safe transition back to the community, concentrate on also a plan for dealing with long-term drug issues, because I'd hate to see him get triggered and return to drug use again and come out free and clear in December, again, 46 days away, ready to really begin his life anew. He's a young man, he's got his whole life ahead of him, and I think he shows great potential, but I'm certainly open to the input of my colleagues.
I agree. I just have some concern about, I don't know if there was any violence between him and his wife and his son. It's last since then he took the car over. He's not to have a conversation with him, but according to Mr. Osborne, and he's been instructed not to have no contact with his wife, including text, which is generally one of the conditions, and he, he seemed to violate that. So.
Yes, sir. Any further input?
I agree with you, sir.
Okay, then I'm going to make a motion and see how the board votes. And that is based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W3195, our discussion with Mr. Jimenez, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Jimenez was delinquent, in as much as that he was arrested for violating a court order, violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed, or was about to lapse at a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Jimenez, your supervision has been revoked and you'll be released on or about December 4th, 2017. As I stated, that's only 46 days away. We ask that you don't see this as a negative. We have to make some tough decisions on behalf of the state of Arizona. And I'm sincere when I say that I think you have tremendous potential for returning to the community and being productive. And I do wish you the best on your marriage. I hope you're able to work things out. And so please, again, take advantage of the remainder of your prison sentence to put together a plan for your safe return. And we wish you the best. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. I believe that...
That ends it there.
That ends it at this facility. So thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.